Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hello, everyone. It's Dr. Stephanie Stanfield, and welcome to the 49th episode of Making Shifts Happen, where we're going to inspire, inform, and motivate you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improve your health and wellness along the way. For those of you joining us live here on Blog Talk Radio, well, it's great to have you with us. If you're joining us through a podcast on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or Wi-Fi radio, a very special welcome to you as well. These podcasts are designed to bring you leading-edge information about a variety of health topics. My team and I are dedicated to bringing you valuable information so you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We'll be here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, so plan on joining us each and every week. Today we're going to talk about how can having ideas improve your health. What I'd like to ask you before we even get started with the radio show is, how can I be of value to you today? How can I be of value to you today? And I'm just going to let that question hang out there and touch on it throughout the show, just mentally within myself, so that I create a focus and a purpose of being of value to my very important and highly valued listeners. So that begins the show. How can I be of value? And the quote today is a kind of about a mindset. I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. And this is by Marshall McLuhan. It's been interesting. It's been a very interesting couple of weeks. And I'd like to share with you just a little bit of a personal story. I have been looking to improve a certain area of health in my personal life. And I've been asking a lot of questions around it. And what I found was that I wasn't seeking the answer so much as I was asking the questions. And I said in one of my meditations, why is asking questions so important to me right now? And all of a sudden, I had asked for a John Maxwell book from the library. He's one of our thought leaders and a very successful business person. And a book that I had requested a couple of months ago suddenly was here for me, and it's How Do Successful Leaders Think, I believe. I may have the title a little bit wrong, but it's close enough. And then I happened to go to my Kindle, and in my Kindle, I found a book that I didn't even remember ordering, but all of a sudden it just showed up. And I can't help but think part of these are the answer to some of the questions I've been sending out and asking for my personal growth and development. And the book was How to Become an Idea Machine, or Become an Idea Machine, Because Ideas Are the Currency of the 21st Century. And this book is written by Claudia Azula Altucher. A-L-T-U-C-H-E-R. I'll teach you. Anyway, How to Become an Idea Machine. And the convergence of both of these books coming into my life in the same day let me know that there's probably a lot of important things that I need to be learning and doing from these books. So I know the value of questions, because if you think in statements like, it's always going to be this way, or I'll never get any better at this, and those types of things, those are what a couple of people, Gary Douglas and Dane here from Access Consciousness, refer to as conclusions and judgments. And they don't serve you. Conclusions and judgments don't serve you. They keep you stuck, conclusion, in that judgment. So one of the things that they ask you to do, if you ever listen to them on YouTube or other places, is they ask you to ask questions such as, what else is possible? How does it get any better than this? What would it take for blank to show up? And I've been doing that for several years now. But I also found that maybe those questions were not allowing me to really expand myself in the direction of becoming more successful, making more money, improving my health. And these two other books just popped in, and it's like, oh, and they fell in line with what I knew and what I understood about the brain and the mind. So if you always think what you've always thought, you always get what you always got. I think the author of that is unknown, although it may be attributed to someone, I'm not sure. I couldn't find to whom it would be attributed. So at any rate, if you always think what you always thought, you always get what you always got. And I've heard statements like, Google on the internet asks their employees to do 15-minute think sessions. And I thought, well, what are these people thinking? So let me ask you a question. What does become an idea machine mean to you? What does become an idea machine mean to you? And so in this book, Becoming an Idea Machine, they talk about you can do this in 180 days, which is about half a year, 6 months. Ideas are the new currency. And we keep saying we live in an information age, but do we really understand what that is? So in the book, she suggests things like, in part one, the first becoming an idea machine thought is to set up a journal or some form of writing things down and think or solve 10 hard gratitude problems. 10 hard gratitude problems. One of the examples she's using is you're sitting in traffic. And sometimes, especially if you're late for an important meeting or you have several things you need to do and you perceive this traffic as sticking you or keeping you from accomplishing what you want to accomplish, it's hard to get into a state of gratitude. So she's saying, while you're sitting in traffic, write down a couple of things that for which you're grateful for this traffic, all right? Or another thing is, for this became abundantly clear to me not too long ago, if you're sitting in a situation and kids are yelling and screaming and carrying on around you and babies are crying and you're trying to figure something out, how is it possible to be grateful in a situation like that? These aren't meant to be easy answers. And I thought about this, and I think I read part of it in the book, but the first three or four are pretty easy. By the time you get to seven, you're saying, oh, I can't think of any more, which is a judgment and conclusion. So your question might be, well, how can I think of more? What else is possible here? What else is valuable here? And maybe you'll come up with the last three of those questions. What is the value of thinking and asking questions? One of the things that I found is a lot of times, and I read about this or heard about this on a TV show, I think it was Law and Order, where the attorney says, never ask a question you don't already know the answer to. And I thought about that for a long time. When we ask questions that we feel we already know the answer to, or that we're using as an accusation to literally accuse someone of negative behavior or something bad, we're not really asking a question. We've predetermined what that information is. And we want to make sure that their answer complies with what our beliefs are. So asking open-ended questions or questions to which there is not answer is more important than asking questions where you can prove yourself right or wrong, or the other person right or wrong, or to which you already think you know the answer. Why would you ask a question that you think you already know the answer to? Because a lot of times after you ask that question, you'll say, oh, I knew you were going to say that. Well, if you knew it, why go through the futile exercise of doing it? Why not ask a different question that gives you a new insight or a new perspective? A lot of times my clients come to me because they are stuck in a certain perspective or trying to make themselves true, right, good, or wrong, false, or bad. So what if there are no right, wrong, good, bad, up, down, over, inside, out, outside, in answers? What if there are just some wonderful questions that in the exploration of finding an answer, or even not an answer, just seeing what unfolds, we can grow and learn and evolve? Because this leads us to, what if there isn't an answer? So I talked about one of the access consciousness questions. What would it take for blank to show up? So in terms of sometimes people want a new car. And they say, oh, I want a new car, I want a new car. I'm going to have to do X, Y, and Z to get the new car. And if I don't do it, and if I don't do it in a specific period of time, I'm a good person or I'm a bad person. And all of this is judgment. And it takes a lot of energy, and there's no sense of satisfaction. And what if the car doesn't materialize? If you ask, what would it take for a new car to show up, and then feel the energy of driving the new car, then you haven't found an answer. You haven't set a prescribed way of doing it. And this gives the opportunity of multiple ways for a new car to show up, okay? And it might not look the way you think it should, which just means simply that you got an unexpected answer, but it was an answer. And so many times, we go back to the quote that I started the show with, I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. When we ask a question to which we already believe we know the answer, and then we're waiting for it to show up, we sometimes miss the unique and wondrous and miraculous ways that other answers can show up because we are looking for what we believe instead of looking for what is showing up. I'll have a little bit deeper explanation of this right after we get back from the break. I'd like for you to remember that the audio for the Calm Moms program is no longer available as a bonus. It will be available at some time in the future, so stay tuned. And if you haven't signed up for the Calm Mom report, please consider doing so today and even signing up for the webinar. I believe that you will be glad you did. We'll be back right after this brief message.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now, we don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Moms free report, you can begin relieving your stress. Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children. Have fewer doctor visits and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms free report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life-enhancing report is absolutely free. And as a special bonus, if you act right now, you'll be sent an audio of the main tips to remind you of how to be peaceful and calm. This Calm Moms free report in audio is a limited time offer. So act right now to get your special bonus.
And we're back. Thank you for joining us on How Can Having Ideas Improve Your Health? Stress Busting Secret number 49 in our Stress Busting series. Remember, we started the show with, if you always think what you always thought, you always get what you always got. Well, I was just reading through the list of some of the ideas that the book suggests become an idea machine. And really, if I'm going to commit to doing this and change my mind and grow my brain and start becoming an idea-generating machine, I'm going to start doing this. And one of the things that I noticed is, as I read through a couple of topics, 10 new yoga poses you can create, use animal names, describe alignment, purpose, and effects, I immediately wanted to skip over that one. I don't know about yoga. I've tried yoga before. I didn't like it. I hurt myself doing yoga many times, so I just stopped doing it. So I have a block. I have a resistance to it. Well, resistance or blocks to anything is congestion in your system, and congestion can sometimes manifest as an illness. So instead of sticking with that block and saying, I'm not going to do that one, I'll skip it, I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to find out what is possible. And as I do this daily for the next 6 months, you might get some information on future shows based on how successful I was with this. But also John Maxwell has some ideas for what you can do to create some, generate some business ideas that are going to be healthy for your bottom line, for your life, for how you think, for how you talk with people. It's fascinating because if I tell somebody only what I know and they tell me only what they know, we really haven't had a connection. We've only had a discussion of a nation. When we ask questions, we can really begin to explore. And remember, those questions need to be open-ended. They don't need to be the type of question where I'm asking the person to align and agree with what I think already. If I'm using this as a stress management tool, I really do need to expand my brain, grow a new brain with new information, create a different mind and mindset so that I can be healthier. I heard somebody say yesterday, oh my gosh, I always get sick this time of year. I always get sick this time of year. Well, your nervous system does what you ask it to do. You're not asking a question. You're just making a statement, and your nervous system works very hard to do what you ask it to do. So it's working hard to make you sick because that's what you said. What if you ask a question about what's the best way to stay healthy during the flu season? Change your life from, oh, I always get sick this time of year, or my coworker Susie came in sick, and now I know I'm going to get sick. What if you ask a question, what it would be possible for me to stay healthy? What can I do to stay healthy? How does it get any better than this? Those are the open-ended questions that your nervous system will then, instead of trying to make you sick because that's what you've asked it to do, will begin working on and exploring and expanding. Also, to touch back just briefly on some earlier sessions about the sympathetic nervous system, you do not learn in the sympathetic nervous system. You move into protection, fear, and keeping yourself as small as possible, constriction. When you move into parasympathetic activity, you move into expansion, learning, growth, new ideas, new understanding. In questions, you actually create a healthier immune system because you're working more in the parasympathetic nervous system, which is a very present moment. And it might encounter, say, a virus in your system and saying, okay, well, we're drinking more water and we're doing some belly breathing. We'll get rid of this virus very quickly. So what can you do to expand your mind, grow a different brain, and feel better? Well, I'm going to be writing down 10 ideas based on some of the topics that Claudia mentions in her book. I'm also going to incorporate some of the things from the Maxwell book and start really beginning to say, I don't have all the answers. I'm seeking new information. I'm seeking new ideas. I'm seeking a different level of understanding. I'm seeking to grow and expand who I am so that I don't recreate the same situations, events, emotions, dynamics over and over and over again. So that's why questions are some of your most important stress management skills. You want to grow a healthy, resilient brain and immune system, and you want to function from expansion rather than contraction, and you want to function with what else is possible. And it's so interesting because in my healing journey, I'll share this again, from my healing journey, I used to have tremendous migraines and allergies, and I would just pray that I would get through the end of the day without a migraine or without an allergic reaction. And there were days when I took 4 Claritin a day so that I could just simply function. And you're supposed to take one in 24 hours. But I'd take one and then 2 or 4 hours later, I couldn't breathe again. And then I didn't use the Afrin sprays because you would get the rebound effect. And I was just certain that I would be getting a migraine then by the end of the day because I was over-medicated and my sinuses were swelling and throbbing and my nervous system was doing what I was asking it to do. And the pivotal point in my life was not health. It was avoiding pain. But in the avoiding pain, pain became a pivotal point in my life. If I said, oh, thank God I didn't have a migraine today, maybe in 2 or 3 hours I'd develop a migraine because I told my nervous system, migraines are important to me. Let's have migraines today. I didn't realize that that's what I was doing. But that's what I was doing. So pain became a pivotal point, constriction. What can I get small in my world that I can begin to manage so that I feel better? And I was asking the wrong questions. A good question to start the day would be, how does today get any better than this moment right now? How does today get any better? What else is possible? If I had a good day where I was free of migraines, I'd say, how can tomorrow be even better than today? And I began setting myself up for growing the positive things in my life rather than growing the negative. So when I began to understand how important I had made pain and suffering and physical ailments to my life, some of my questions began even back then, back in 97, what else possible? And I did not realize the healing beneficial effect that had on my nervous system and my life. So what are some of the questions you can begin asking yourself? What do I believe success is, and how can I expand that? What can I do to improve what can I do to improve my mental practice? What can I do to improve my physical practices? What can I do to improve my water drinking? So, again, when I thought that question, I really didn't want to drink water. I really didn't want to force myself to do something that I hated to do. So the question became, how can I improve my water drinking so that I drink enough water to maintain a healthy body? And I ran across Masaru Emoto in his book, The Messages in the Water. So instead of drinking water, I began drinking and taking in love. And soon the habit became so reinforced and so natural and so normal that I notice now when I don't drink enough water rather than when I haven't had enough water, because when I'm taking in love instead of water, my whole behavior, my whole perception around that behavior changes, and I can have an entirely different experience of it. So instead of, there used to be a commercial on TV a long time ago with the man Fred from Dunkin' Donuts. And his commercial was, I have to make the donuts. And oh my gosh, he just thought he was suffering tremendously. I have to drink the water. Until I changed it to, I'm taking in love and health. All right, that's about all we have for today. Time-wise, I'd like for you to remember, if you always think what you always thought, you always get what you always got. That's all for today's show. I encourage you to email your questions in at info@makingshiftshappen.com with any questions you might have or to add to the speed round. One of the things that I'm going to do for fun is take my grandson Tristan to the movies. We went to see Goosebumps last weekend, and we had so much fun because he had read the Goosebumps books, and he could explain stuff to me. So I would ask him a question, and he could answer it, and he felt so good about himself, and he felt so good about reading those books. He came out of the movie saying, I'm going to read some more books, and the next time we go to a movie, Grandma, you'll have to ask me again. So asking questions, very powerful tool for having great communication. And we're going to see another movie. What's one tool I can use every day that I would hate to live without? Well, I think you guessed it. It's asking questions. But asking the most empowering, enhancing, expansive questions, not questions to which I already know the answer. And that's just what I would encourage you to do. Find out what's going to work for you to expand your mind and your brain and begin asking questions that reduce your stress and enhance your health. Next week, we're going to have a guest. His name is James Cowley, and he has some very interesting information about mentoring our sons, and he's a single parent raising children. So I hope you tune in for that episode, and we'll talk with you next week. Meanwhile, ask those questions.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. To learn more or to reach out to Dr. Steph, please visit makingshiftshappen.com and join us again next time.